To the word tonight. We are going to look at something new tonight. I want you to turn with me to Genesis chapter 17. Hallelujah. And we're going to start with verse 1 here. When Abram was 99 years old. Everybody say 99. The Lord appeared to him, okay? And said to him, I am the Almighty God. If you can, underline that phrase, Almighty God. And then he said, walk before me and be perfect, and I will make my covenant between you, between me and you, and will multiply you exceedingly. Underline multiply exceedingly. Okay? And or make a mental note of it, however you want to remember it. But that phrase, Almighty God. Abraham had reached a point in his life where within himself, he was having insufficiency to produce what God wanted him to have. Anybody, don't raise your hands, but insufficient funds, right? You go to write a check and there's not the money in the bank, but one guy said, how can I be out of money? I still have checks. But how many know that God gave Abraham a promise and he said, I'm going to make you a father of many nations. And so Abraham embarked on a journey with God to follow him. And wherever he went, he would set up an altar. He would worship God. He would go where God said. But years passed. Time passed. And God's promise wasn't coming to pass. This is now 24 years after God first spoke to Abraham to tell him to leave his country and what he would do for him. So Abraham was experiencing some insufficiency, all right? But God was about to, God came to Abraham and he appeared to him and he said, I want to show you another side of me. I want to show you another characteristic of who I am. And when God said, I'm Almighty God, he was telling Abraham that he is El Shaddai. He is more than enough, all sufficient, almighty, all powerful, and what I said is going to come to pass. And he showed Abraham this other characteristic of him. So I want to talk to you tonight about more than enough. Amen? Now, I have a little visual illustration. Okay? We've all, you ever experienced this? Not enough, right? You have more bills than you do money at the end of the month or the beginning of the month, right? So we've all been to not enough. I don't like that place. I don't want to camp out at not enough. All right? Well, maybe you move a little bit more and you get just enough, right? You have just enough to cover all your needs or to meet your needs, right? Then if you move along, maybe you have barely enough. You barely made it, right? You were barely able to accomplish a goal. But we don't want to camp there either. Here's where we want to get to. We want to get to more than enough, all right? How many want to go to more than enough? Say more than enough. See, maybe what you thought you had was enough, but God is more than enough. Amen? God is, he has more than not enough. He has more than just enough. He has more than barely enough. He blows enough out of the water. He gives you, he covers the enough and so much more. And if you can tell, I'm really excited about this. See, Abraham was 99 years old. When God first spoke to him, he was 75. And Abraham believed God, okay? But it wasn't coming to pass. And notice what God said. You know, Abraham, he fell on his face. because he saw something about God that he had never saw before. This was a revelation. How many know that a revelation can revolutionize your life? He didn't know this about God. He didn't know that God was more than enough. Okay? He knew that God was the great God, Jehovah. He knew he was the covenant-keeping God who causes things to exist, but he had never known this about God. And God said, I just want to show you this because I love you. And then verse 5 says, neither shall your name anymore be called Abraham, but your name shall be Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations. Notice, I have made you. Past tense. Okay? As far as God was concerned, it was a done deal. Now, anytime that you get a revelation in your life about God, about something that you didn't know about God or his word or his kingdom, it's going to bring change to your life. Now, this change for Abram occurred in changing his name. How many know God had to breathe on his name? Ha! He went from Abram to Abraham. God literally breathed life into Abram. Okay? Now, so he revealed this other characteristic to Abraham, and he confirmed the promise that he gave him from the beginning. How many know God didn't change from what he wanted to do in Abraham's life? Whether Abraham fully connected with God or not, God wasn't going to change his purpose for Abraham. Abraham's purpose was to be a father of many nations. God needed a man who would give birth to a righteous line, a line that came about as his relationship with God. Okay? And so God revealed himself as El Shaddai, the all-sufficient, almighty, all-powerful God who loves you and wants to work on your behalf limitlessly. All right? And Abraham's name was changed because he saw that with God there is nothing impossible. Because at this point in Abraham's life, both he and Sarah were physically incapable of producing a child. In other words, they didn't have enough strength, enough life in them. And they needed more than enough in order for the promised child to come about. So God introduced himself as more than enough into Abraham, into his life, and Abraham believed him. And notice, whenever you know God as more than enough, it always leads to multiplication. Notice he said, after he said, I am the Almighty God, and he said, walk before me, he said, I will make my covenant with you and will multiply you exceedingly. Now, multiplying would be good, right? But how many know that God is so much more than good? He doesn't just want to multiply you. He wants to multiply you exceedingly. You have a need in your life? God wants to exceed the need, right? He wants to meet that need, but he wants to do so much more in your life. But you got to let him. Amen? Now this word, Almighty God, the Hebrew word is El Shaddai, okay? It means the Almighty, it means powerful, it means strong, okay? It means to be able to do anything and everything at any time, okay? How many know that we have a supernatural God? And any time that he wants to supersede natural laws, he can, because he's supernatural. That means he's above natural. All right? And you can just write these verses down. In Psalm 77, verse 14, it says, you are the God El who does wonders. All right? That the word for God there is El, and it's talking about he's the God who does wonders. Okay? Psalm 68, verse 35 says, you are the God who gives strength and power. All right? He's the God who gives strength and power. Deuteronomy 3:24, O Lord God, you show your greatness and your mighty hand. How many know that God's got some mighty hands? God has some greatness. And listen, if you're great, then the things that you do are great. The work that you do is great. Every job that God undertook is a great job. Say, I'm a great job. Yep, because God made you. He designed you. He handcrafted you. He built you. He knows how you operate. Isaiah 40, verses 29 through 31, he gives power to the faint or weak. And Nehemiah 9:32, Nehemiah called upon the great and mighty God to intervene on his behalf. Psalm 18:32, he's the God who arms you with strength. Okay? Now, if you happen to get excited about, we're going to break down El Shaddai, and if you happen to get excited about the breakdown, look at your neighbor and say, that's okay. All right? If you can't contain yourself, that's okay. All right? So, I've got a list here of things that we're going to break down. What God was showing Abraham through his name, El Shaddai. He revealed to him a characteristic that Abraham didn't know up to this point. He said, I am all. See, God appeared to him. God spoke to him and said, I am Almighty God. And Abraham said, huh, I hadn't seen it like that before. That's good, God. And God says, yeah, I know. Okay? So this word, El Shaddai, it means strong and powerful. Especially in the sense of one who is powerful to bypass the laws of nature and the ordinary course of nature. Naturally speaking, Abraham and Sarah were not able to have kids. So they needed some supernatural help in order for that to happen. Amen? And this is where God shows himself up as El Shaddai. Notice it's El Shaddai, not El Cheapo. Okay? It means that God as Almighty overcomes the deadness of Abraham's and Sarah's bodies. Oh, are you hearing me? Their bodies were naturally dead, but God Almighty is a life giver. It doesn't matter if the body's dead, he can make dead things work. He brings dead things to life. He activates things that are dead. Because he is the almighty God. There isn't anyone more mightier than him. There isn't anyone more powerful than him. There isn't anyone more stronger. He is the almighty. Amen. Say, God is the almighty. When El Shaddai shows up, he reveals himself in special deeds of power. Okay? Special deeds of power. And the word Shaddai is the similar word for breast. So you could consider God El Shaddai, the mighty breasted one. Now, does a child that's born need anything else other than mama's milk? Amen? In other words, the source of life for a child that's born is the mama's milk. And That milk will nurture that child. That milk will cause that child to grow. That milk will give all the nutrients that that child needs. And God is the mighty breasted one. He will nourish you. He will sustain you. He will feed you. He will provide for you because that's who he is. El Shaddai is the all-sufficient and all-bountiful one. Do you like those words? There's no such thing as a lack of sufficiency in God. God doesn't lack anything. Now get this. Because you're God's child, you also have access to the one who doesn't lack anything. All right? In Isaiah 60, verse 15, he says, I am Jehovah, the mighty one of Jacob. Say, God is the mighty one. El Shaddai shows that God is the power behind or the shedder forth of blessings. Woo! He's a blessing dispenser. Oh, come on. He is the all-sufficient, all-bountiful one. He is almighty because he's able to carry out his purposes and plans to their fullest, glorious, triumphant completion. He is able to triumph over every obstacle that comes his way. There's not an obstacle that can stump God. He is able to do to the uttermost, and he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. He fills and makes fruitful. Just think of yourself right now. If you had a basket that was empty, God's filling it. And he's filling it so that you're fruitful. Did you know that God makes deposits in you for the purpose of being fruitful? And since God called Abraham to be a father of nations, do you think it takes money to begin nations? Amen? Well, who supplied Abraham with his needs? Who caused him to increase? God, it was the Almighty God. It was El Shaddai. And when he latched onto El Shaddai, something changed in his body, and something changed in Sarah's body. There was some happening. Strength was happening. Hebrews says that when Sarah meditated on the faithfulness of God, she received strength to conceive. That strength wasn't there before. That strength came after they knew God as El Shaddai. As El Shaddai, God is able to save to the uttermost. And he can do exceeding abundantly. Oh, we already read that. He is irresistible. He's able to destroy your enemies. Amen? So that doesn't, it doesn't matter if an army comes against you. God can handle it as El Shaddai. It means that nothing is impossible with God. Let's say that. Say, nothing is impossible with God. Let's say that one more time. Nothing is impossible with God. You believe that? When you believe that, then things that are impossible to you cease to become impossible. They now become possible. Hallelujah. As El Shaddai, he is the Godhead, and he has sufficiency for all of creation. Okay? He is the one who is sufficient in himself and self-existent. God doesn't need any help from anywhere, but he is the source of our help. All right? Go with me to Genesis chapter 18, verses 13 and 14. Genesis 18, verses 13 and 14. Now, this is after he appeared as El Shaddai, right? And he came to Abraham, and he was about to reveal to Abraham what was going to happen in the earth. And so he heard Sarah laughing because El Shaddai said that she was going to conceive. And Sarah got tickled at that thought. All right? A 90-year-old woman going to conceive. At once we thought it was impossible, but with God it is possible. All the close to 90-year-olds were praying, said, "Lord, I don't want to go through that." But notice what he said in verse 13. The Lord said unto Abraham, "Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, 'Shall I of a surety bear a child when I am old?'" Is anything too hard for the Lord? You got to ask yourself this question. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Is there a problem that you encounter in life that the Lord can't solve? No. Is anything too hard for God? No. Nothing is too hard for him. Okay? Well, he's El Shaddai. He's the Almighty God. So you got to see that there's nothing too hard for him. He said, "At the time appointed, I will return unto you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son." Well, he's speaking with authority now. Notice he was going to return. El Shaddai was going to cause it to happen. El Shaddai was going to bring it about. Almighty God was going to work in this couple's life. And he was going to bring about a miracle that was never been done before. All right? In Genesis 14, Abraham called God the Most High, the possessor of heaven and earth. Go with me to Genesis 26. Let's look at verse 2. Genesis 26 and verse 2. The Lord appeared unto him, talking about Isaac, and said, "Go not down into Egypt. Dwell in the land which I shall tell you of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with you. I will bless you, for unto you and unto your seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swore unto Abraham your father." Now Isaac was the beneficiary of El Shaddai. If it wasn't for El Shaddai revealing himself to God, Isaac would have never came about. But Isaac was the result of El Shaddai working in Abraham and Sarah's life. Okay? And now God is making his own covenant with Isaac. And he said, "I will make your seed to what?" What's he going to do to his seed in verse 4? Multiply. So who's at work here? It's El Shaddai. Now, El Shaddai is not different than God. This is just a different characteristic. Okay? It's the same God. It's just one God, not a multiple of gods. It's just one God. And I will make your seed to multiply as the stars of heaven. Well, that's kind of excessive, isn't it? You mean you're going to make my seed multiply as the stars of heaven? Yes, because God is an excessive God. God is a too much God. God is a more than enough God. Maybe 5 kids would have been enough. Maybe 10 kids would have been enough. No, no, no. God says, "That's not me. That's not how I operate. I got to give you as many as the stars." That's excessive. That's who God is. That's who the Almighty God is. That's who he wants to be for you. And all you got to do is believe him. All you got to do is trust him, just like Abraham. God showed a characteristic of himself to Abraham. Abraham believed it. Abraham had faith in it, and it began to work in Abraham's life. Things began to multiply. Not that they didn't multiply before. But after he knew God as El Shaddai, the multiplication exceeded. Do you know that Abraham, when Sarah died, he married a lady by the name of Keturah? You know what? He had 6 more kids with Keturah. He was still operating from the revelation that he had as God as El Shaddai. He couldn't have any kids, and he went on to have 7 more kids. That's just who God is. And he told Isaac in verse 5, he said, "Because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandment, my statutes, and my laws." If you want El Shaddai to work for you, you've got to obey his voice, you've got to keep his charge and his commandments. All right? And he will work in your life too. Go with me to Genesis 35. We're looking at some people who encountered God as El Shaddai, the Almighty God. And guess what? If God will show himself to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as Almighty God, he will show himself like that to you too. Because he is no respecter of persons. What he did for Abraham, he can do for you. What he did for Isaac, he can do for you. What he did for Jacob, he can do for you. Why? Because our God is more than enough. More than enough. All sufficient. Go to verse 10, Genesis 35. Well, verse 9, actually. God appeared unto Jacob again when he came out of Padan Aram and blessed him. Verse 10, God said unto him, "Your name is Jacob. Your name shall not be called any more Jacob." No longer are you going to be a trickster or a supplanter. No longer are you going to do things through deceit or trickery. "But Israel shall be your name." And he called his name Israel. Israel means Prince of God. Okay? "And God said unto him, I am God Almighty. I am El Shaddai. I am the all-sufficient, almighty, one who is more than enough." And then he told Jacob, after he revealed him who he was, he said, "Be fruitful and multiply." The moment you connect with El Shaddai, fruitfulness and multiplication begin to be stirred up on the inside of you. And now you're a multiplication going somewhere to happen. That means you can go anywhere and you got multiplication working in your life. Instead of having one chair, now you've got 3 chairs. Instead of having 3 chairs, now you got 3 rows of chairs. Instead of having 1 sheep, you got three sets of sheep. Multiplication begins to happen in your life at an accelerated rate. God wants to excel. He wants to excel in your life. Don't put it on cruise control. Let God hit the gas pedal. If God wants to go 100 miles an hour, let him go 100 miles an hour. You just keep up with God. Amen? He said, "I am Almighty, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations." Not just one nation now. Now it's a company of nations. Can you see the multiplication factor occurring? "Shall be of you, and kings shall come out of you." Out of your loins. "And the land which I gave Abraham and Isaac to you, I will give it to your seed after, and I will give..." Do you know how many Israelites were there in Egypt when they first went to Egypt? Do you know how many were there? Who knows? 62, I think there was like 70, so you're right on track. There was about 70 Israelites when Jacob moved his family to Egypt. But they had an El Shaddai working on their behalf. And while El Shaddai was working, Joseph died, and a new Pharaoh rose to power who didn't even know God, and he was scared at the rate in which the Israelites were multiplying. He thought that if they continue to multiply at this rate, that if I'm involved in a war, the Israelites may fight against me because they're multiplying so greatly. And it didn't matter how hard they oppressed him, how hard they tried to stop him, but because they had an El Shaddai working on their behalf. I don't care what comes against you, when El Shaddai is on your side, you will multiply, you will overcome, you will overtake. We've got to get a revelation of God as El Shaddai right now, in this day and in this hour. Hallelujah. Go with me to Exodus chapter 6. Exodus chapter 6. Look at verse 3. He's talking to Moses here. And he said, I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty, or El Shaddai. But by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. See, God reveals characteristics about his name, and it's a progressive revelation. In other words, what you need to know about God for your situation, he'll show you who he is. For example, if you need healing in your life, he will say, hello, I'm Jehovah Rapha. I'm the Lord who heals. Or maybe you need something, you need provision. You know, there's something that you have to have, but you don't have, and you need it. He'll knock on your door, and you'll answer, and you'll say, hello, I'm Jehovah Jireh, I'm the Lord your provider. So in other words, what I'm saying is this, that whatever need you have in your life, that's who God will show himself to meet that need. And he reveals names, he reveals his characteristics through names, right? You know yourself by your name. People know you by your name. You're identified by your name. If you want to enter into a contract, you sign your name. Because your name is who you are. Your name identifies you. Your name reveals some things about you. Notice what God said. Verse 4, I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, wherein they were strangers. Can you see that for a minute? Maybe you're close to your possession, but you're a stranger to that possession. That doesn't mean that God can work on your behalf and transfer you from being a stranger to an owner. Amen. They were in a land that wasn't theirs, but because God gave them that land, they were able to take it from people that they were strangers to. How did that happen? Because God said that he would give it to them. In other words, it was God's promise that blessed them with the land that he wanted them to have. And your land that God wants you to have is all his promises. It's all of heaven's best, and God wants you to have it. And the goal may seem so far off. You may have wondered that what God said isn't ever going to come to pass, but let me tell you something, it is. Because, why? He's an almighty God. So God Almighty is working on your behalf to get you what he promised you. Even if it doesn't belong to you right now. Let me read this scripture, and then I want to say some other things. Look at verse 6. This is what Almighty does for you. Wherefore, say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will rid you out of their bondage. Coming out of Egypt is like being born again. Egypt represents the world. And God brought them out of the world through great acts of power. And this is what he promises to do to us. He says, I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments. I will take you to me for a people. I will be to you a God. You shall know that I am the Lord, your God, which brings you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will bring you into the land concerning the which I did swear to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, and I will give it to you for a heritage. I am the Lord. Can you say amen? Amen. So God will rescue you from oppression. He'll redeem you with an outstretched arm and great judgments. He'll take you as his own. The devil rejected you, the world rejected you, but God will accept you. Too many people in this world, they're looking for acceptance, and all they have to do is come to the church of the living God. Amen. To the people who know God Almighty. Amen. And they can find true acceptance. I'm not talking about some religious thing, but true, genuine love of God. Amen. And anytime that God does something with his power, it's because he wants you to know him. Anytime that God does an act of power, he wants you to know him more. He wants you to become more familiar with who he is, with why he does what he does. Any demonstration of his power is so that you can know him in a greater way, because that's what God wants to do. He wants us to know him. He wants us to have a relationship with him. Amen. Okay. Now I'm going to finish up with the manifestation of the almighty power of God. Go to Psalm 115, verse 3. Psalm 115, verse 3. Got your shouting clothes on? Say, what's a shouting clothes? Oh, it's just clothes that make loud noise. I don't know, do you ever watch your favorite team or your favorite thing on TV and you never get emotionally involved in it? They make your team scores a good play, you go, oh, that was great. You know, but sometimes we do that in church. God's moving by his power and say, oh, that's awesome. You know, not expressing our emotion when God is doing something. I mean, God gave you your emotions. Expressing your emotions is not being led by your emotions. It's just simply letting them go for a moment. All right? Psalm 115 and verse 3. But our God is in the heavens. He has done whatsoever he has pleased. In other words, God does what he's pleased. When you're Almighty God, you can do what you please. How many know that God is going to do what he wants to do, whether or not people will participate with him? The devil couldn't stop Jesus from coming to this earth. He couldn't stop the Messiah from showing up. He tried and tried, but he couldn't, because God is Almighty God and he will do what he pleases. Amen. When you're in the position of authority and power, you can do what you please. Amen? Now we want to do what God pleases. We're here to please God tonight. God, what pleases God? Your faith. There's nothing that can please God more than you believing in him and acting out his word, putting his word into action, all right? Proverbs 18:10 says the name of the Lord is what kind of tower? It's a strong tower. And the righteous run to it and are safe. Now there's the key. The Lord is a strong tower, right? But in order for you to get safety, where do you have to go? You got to run to it. People think that they're going to be safe out here, but they're not running to the strong tower. If you're not in the strong tower, you're exposed to danger. Safety is in the strong tower. Safety is in Christ. Christ is the strong tower. Christ is the ark of our salvation, isn't he? Numbers 11:23. It asks the question, has the Lord's arm been shortened? Some people might think that the Lord don't know where they are. I'm way over here. I don't even know if the Lord knows I exist. He knows. Amen. Stop whining and start praying and watch what he does. Amen. He says, has the Lord's arm been shortened? He said, now you shall see whether what I say will happen or not. Jeremiah 32:17 declares, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. If he made the heavens and the earth with his arm, what can he make for you? Jesus and Peter show up to the temple. They're supposed to pay their temple tax. Judas isn't with them. Judas has the checkbook. Peter didn't bring a checkbook with him because he's not the treasurer. He's a fisherman. So Jesus and Peter, they show up at the temple and they're supposed to pay the tax. Well, how are they going to pay the tax? Listen, I'm with Almighty and he takes care of all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Okay, Peter, why don't you go take your pole. First, when you throw it in the water, first fish you catch, there's going to have some coins in its mouth and you bring it here and pay my tax and your tax. Will God do that for me? Yes, he will. He can and he will. I got a couple more here. Matthew 19:26. Jesus looked at them and said, with men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Go to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. And we're going to go to verse 49, Luke 1:49. I got to read this. This was what Mary. No, this is what, Mary said about the Lord. Verse 49, he that is what? Mighty has done to who? To me, great things. Oh, if we spent some time just meditating in that. He is the mighty, has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. Isn't that awesome? God's mercy is so powerful, it'll go from generation to generation. Amen? He has showed strength with his arm. Sounds to me like the outstretched arm is the power of God, isn't it? He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He has filled the hungry with what? What's a good thing if you're hungry? Food. If you're hungry, a good thing to be filled with is food. How many know that David said, or the psalmist said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor God's seed begging for bread. Listen, God won't let you to be in a position to have to beg for bread. He'll just call up the ravens and he'll send the ravens to Burger King. And a raven will show up with a bag from Burger King on your doorstep. Special delivery from the Almighty. See, Jesus, he totally changed the molecular structure of wine. Where does wine normally come from? But Jesus brought wine out of water. How could he do that? He's the Almighty God. What are you going to do when more than 5,000 people show up at your house for dinner? You're going to look in your cabinet and you're going to find a few crackers and some sardines. And you're going to give them to the Almighty. And the Almighty is going to take them and he's going to multiply them. And in multiply, then you start opening cans of sardines. You're like, you keep scooping into this can, and sardines keep coming out. And crackers keep coming out of the bag. You have one bag of crackers, one can of sardines, and you keep scooping it out because the Almighty is at work. And you can go from not enough to more than enough by faith in the Almighty. By faith in the God who is more than enough. You got to believe that there's no limits on God and that whatever you face, God can handle. Whatever you need done, God can do. Whatever you need made, God can create it. Why? Because he's the Almighty, all-sufficient, mighty-breasted one. He is El Shaddai. He is more than enough. He is too much to handle. He can't fit in a box. He can't fit in a room. The mountains are his footstools. And the rich he has sent away empty. He helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. She is still saying the same thing that God said to Abraham. El Shaddai was working thousands of years ago when Abraham walked this earth, and El Shaddai is still working today in 2014. He's still working in anyone who will believe him, anyone who will trust in him, anyone who will grasp a hold of his word and carry it out with a boldness. Amen. You need healing? Come and get it. Yes. Let's not magnify the sickness. Let's magnify the healer. You need finances? God will give you finances. How did the Israelites, leave Egypt broke? The Bible said that God was going, God plundered the Egyptians. In one night, the wealth from Egypt was deposited into Israel's account, and they walked out of Egypt with their bags full, with their closets full, with their needs more than enough met. They had more than enough money. Where do you think they got the money to build the tabernacle? From Egypt. That was a supernatural, divine wealth transfer. They didn't have to work for it. They just had to obey God's instruction. Can you imagine God giving you an instruction? For those of you that are working, go talk to your boss and tell your boss you want this and you want that and you want that. And through God, God will cause your boss to give it to you. That's exactly what happened to the Israelites. God simply told them to let the women ask for gold, for silver, for raiment. And their masters gave it to them supernaturally. Why? Because God Almighty was working on their behalf. When you know God Almighty, your needs will not be unmet. They will be met more than you can imagine, more than you could think. We serve a good God. Not only is he good, he's all-powerful. He's strong and mighty. And he wants to work his strength in your life. Amen? So let's believe in El Shaddai tonight. Would you stand up with me, please? I always have more notes than time. These are El Shaddai notes. These notes are more than enough, all sufficient, almighty. I could preach on these notes for weeks. Hallelujah. First of all, one thing I forgot to do on Sunday is we need to pray for our team in Guyana. Yeah. So join with me as we pray for them. Father, in the name of Jesus, we lift up Les and Julie and Wanda and Eunice to you, Father, as they're ministering to the Blessed Children Home children and to the staff. And Lord, we just thank you, Father, that you're doing great and mighty things through them. Lord, your divine favor is going before them, Father. You're protecting them and keeping them safe. I declare that no one will be ill. No one will have nausea in the name of Jesus. But Lord, I thank you for stretching forth your hand and being upon them, Father, and just blessing them to be a blessing and minister to the kids in Jesus' name. Amen. And join with me as we pray for the nation of Israel. Heavenly Father, right now in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, that you are Israel's shield. You are their buckler. And we pray for the peace of Jerusalem tonight from Palmyra, USA, in the name of Jesus. And we give you thanks and praise, Father, that you will be honored and you will be exalted and the people will know that there is a God in Israel. Lord, that there is a great and mighty God and you defend your people. You keep them safe, Father. You make them wiser than their enemies in the name of Jesus. Father, we let God arise in Israel and let the enemies scatter in the name of Jesus. Bring confusion to the enemy's camp, Lord. We give you honor and praise and glory. Like Jehoshaphat, we send the praises up before the warriors, Lord, and keep Israel safe and deliver them from wickedness and evil men in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, you're here tonight, and when you came in tonight, you came in with an insufficiency in some area. Well, God wants to erase your insufficiency, and he wants to erase from you not having enough for that thing. He wants to give you more than enough. He wants to touch you with his power. He wants to lavish his love on you. So if you need some prayer tonight to make up the difference of your insufficiency, then God's got it. Amen. And I want to invite you to come and receive a touch from the Lord. Amen. It's not a touch from Pastor Doug. It's a touch from the Lord. Amen. I couldn't heal a fly with a headache, but God can. Oh, Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I give you thanks and praise. Father, that all the insufficiencies are gone right now, Father, and there's more than enough. There's enough to meet the need. There's enough left over. Oh, hallelujah. Just like he told the widow, he said, sell the oil.